This is a podcast from WILL AM 580. To support our station, please visit www.willpledge.org. That's www.willpledge.org.
This is the AM 580 News Daily Podcast for Wednesday, December 20th. I'm Jeff Bossert. Coming up, we'll hear about an alternative to eating whitefish in the Great Lakes region, and a look at your AM 580 weather forecast for Champaign-Urbana, but first, today's news. The state of Illinois has removed a Champaign County agency from the list of providers of home heating assistance. The deputy director of the Department of Health Care and Family Services says the Urban League of Champaign County will no longer handle the Low-Income Heating Assistance Program, or LIHEAP. Charles Jackson says his agency found numerous problems with the Urban League's handling of the program, including a $250,000 unpaid bill to the utility Ameren.
We provided the funds to the Urban League to make payments on behalf of those customers and also to provide weatherization services. They've told us that they're unable now to make the payment, so we're still in the process of finding out exactly where the money went.
In a release, Urban League Director Tracy Parsons said the agency had administered LIHEAP for more than 25 years successfully and had been working with the state to answer its concerns, but he says the sudden termination surprised and devastated him. He says the Urban League is laying off 10 employees because of it. Meanwhile, the Champaign County Regional Planning Commission is gearing up to take over the LIHEAP program on an interim basis. Executive Director John Dimmitt says their management of the program starts today. He says the office will have to focus on emergency calls the first few days, but he says he doesn't want people who signed up for home heating assistance through the Urban League to feel abandoned.
The people that were in the pipeline, we hope to get to them. Apparently, we're not sure, but apparently the Urban League had appointments set up with people on clear into January. And so we're going to try to obtain enough information to where we can follow up so none of those clients lose service.
Dimmitt says people with questions about the LIHEAP program can call the Regional Planning Commission at 328-3313. The Champaign County Board voted last night to transfer grant money to the commission so it could get to work on running LIHEAP. Problems still prevent the Champaign County Nursing Home from moving into its new building, but a firm that oversaw the building's troubled construction has reached a settlement with the county. AM 580's Jim Meadows reports.
In the settlement, PKD Incorporated denies any responsibility for problems with mold and a faulty ventilation system that have delayed the opening of the new nursing home and cost the county millions of dollars. But the firm agreed to grant Champaign County $127,000 in payments and forgiveness of outstanding bills. Attorney Joe Phoebus negotiated the settlement for the county.
We view it as the first step in getting some recognition of the problem from PKD and their assistance in pursuing the folks who we believe are responsible for the mold in one case, for the HVAC problems in the other.
Those folks are the contracting firm Otto Baum Company and the new nursing home's architectural engineering firm, the Farnsworth Group. Phoebus says they ought to pay the lion's share of the costs caused by the new building's repairs and delays. Meanwhile, a state panel meeting in Chicago today will hear Champaign County's request to extend its permit for building the nursing home past January 1st. I'm Jim Meadows, AM 580 News.
Indiana State Police say a crash on Interstate 70 near the Indianapolis International Airport killed three people this morning. Three vehicles were involved in the accident, a pickup truck, a currency transport van, and an SUV. State police say either the pickup or the van crossed the center line and struck the other vehicles in the eastbound lanes. Portions of I-70 are expected to be closed for several hours at the scene of the crash, a few miles southwest of the airport. A group of state senators want to tweak Indiana's fireworks law so that cities and counties can set local restrictions on the use of fireworks. Several Indiana cities have complained about the state's fireworks law passed earlier this year. It allows people to shoot the fireworks until 11 each night and prohibits municipalities from banning the pyrotechnics. A proposed Senate bill would give local governments more authority to regulate fireworks, such as restricting hours or days when fireworks could be used. Senator Vic Hineholt says the bill would not allow local governments to be more lenient than the state law. Supporters of the current law say they want to avoid a patchwork of rules around the state. The 22-year-old man accused of plotting to carry out a holiday grenade attack on shoppers at a Rockford mall is due in court today. Attorneys are expected to discuss whether Derek Sharif should remain in federal custody. Sharif was charged earlier this month after authorities say he tried to trade two stereo speakers for a 9mm pistol and four hand grenades. Sharif, who worked at an electronics store, converted to Islam 7 years ago. Investigators say he was acting alone and never actually obtained any grenades. State Treasurer and one-time gubernatorial candidate Judy Bartopinka has a new job. She's been appointed to the board of the Regional Transportation Authority. Republican Commissioner Tony Perica says Cook County commissioners who represent the suburbs unanimously approved Topinka's appointment yesterday. Her appointment to the part-time position is effective immediately. She replaces County Commissioner Al Carr. Topinka served as state treasurer for 3 terms. She lost her bid for governor last month to incumbent Democrat Rod Blagojevich. Topinka says her time in state government will be an asset to the appointment. For the latest newscast online, go to wiol.uiuc.edu/news. This is the AM 580 News Daily Podcast. I'm Jeff Bossert. Whitefish is a main dish for everything from fish boils to fancy dinners all around the Great Lakes region. But in some areas of the Great Lakes, whitefish aren't doing so well. The Environment Report's Rebecca Williams reports on what's happening to the fish many people love to eat.
Mike Monahan sells fish from all over the world at his seafood market. But he says whitefish is a very popular seller.
It's just been there forever, and everybody just expects it to be there, and it's inexpensive. But really, it's a great fish. I mean, you know, as far as a nice, light, delicate fish, it's, you know, I'd put it up against a lot of, you know, like the soles and flounders.
Monahan says he's still getting good supplies of whitefish. So, for now, he's happy. But some of the people who catch whitefish are worried. Commercial fishers have been hauling in skinnier whitefish in some parts of the lakes. It's taking whitefish longer to grow to a size worth selling. And in some cases, the fish aren't fat enough to make a good fillet. Paul Jensen fishes for whitefish in Lake Michigan. He says lately he's had to move his boat to deeper waters. That's because whitefish are hungry and they're swimming out deeper. They aren't finding their favorite food. It's a little shrimp-like creature called dai piraya.
Dai piraya are probably like a Snickers bar to whitefish. They were high in fats, high in lipids, and it was their main food. It was very nutritious for them, and it affected their growth rate. Eating dai piraya, a fish could reach maturity maybe in 18 months or 2 years. Now we're looking at fish that may take 5 years to get there.
Whitefish are not eating dai piraya because it's vanishing. In some places, researchers used to find 10,000 of the little critters in a square meter of sediment. Now there are very few, or none at all. Tom Nalepa has been trying to figure out why. Nalepa is a biologist with the National Oceanic and Atmospheric Administration's Great Lakes Environmental Research Lab.
It's a real scientific puzzle as to why dai piraya is declining. It's definitely related to the spread of quagga mussels and zebra mussels, but that exact negative relationship is kind of elusive at this point in time.
But Nalepa says he's sure the invasive mussels are to blame. The mussels got into the lakes in the ballast tanks of foreign ships, and they've spread in all the lakes except Superior. Tom Nalepa says he's seen populations of dai piraya crash right around the time the mussels were booming. Nalepa says now, dai piraya is gone from large areas in most of the lakes. That's bad, because dai piraya is an important food source for most of the fish in the Great Lakes. But for whitefish, it's really crucial. Back in the good old days, dai piraya made up about 80% of their diet. Tom Nalepa says whitefish are trying to find something else to eat. He's seeing them switch to a snack food that could make them even skinnier. They're starting to eat quagga mussels.
When whitefish feed on quagga mussels, they have to deal with the shell, which has no energy content at all, and it has to pass the shells through their digestive system. So basically, the fish feels full when it's not getting any energy source.
Nalepa says to the fish, quagga mussels must seem like good food, because there are lots of them. He says quagga mussels are booming because they can live in harsher conditions than zebra mussels can. So biologists are predicting quaggas will be even worse for the lakes than zebra mussels.
Where are things going to ultimately end up? People may just have to get used to fewer fish, because basically now we're trading the fish community for the mussel community. The lakes are loaded with mussels instead of fish now, and so it may be just the way it's going to be.
Some fishermen are already seeing things change. One day last season, Paul Jensen pulled in some of his nets. He was expecting fish.
It was kind of startling because the amount of quagga mussels that came up with those nets far exceeded the catch of fish, and we hadn't really equipped the boat with a snow shovel to shovel zebra mussels or quagga mussels out of the boat. So the impacts are startling because you begin to wonder if our little net caught these, how many are there, and you know, what are the impacts going to be down the road?
Jensen says he wishes the invaders had never gotten into the lakes in the first place, because there's no way to predict what effect they'll have next. But some scientists worry these changes at the bottom of the food chain will lead to a major collapse of the fish stocks that many people depend on. For the Environment Report, I'm Rebecca Williams.
The Environment Report is a production of Michigan Radio. Support comes from the DTE Energy Foundation and the Great Lakes Fishery Trust. You can learn more about Environment Report stories and subscribe to weekly podcasts at environmentreport.org.
In the forecast for East Central Illinois, expect mostly cloudy skies. There's a 50% chance of showers, a high around 45. Tonight, there's a chance of showers in the evening, then showers likely after midnight. Not as cool, the low around 38, a 70% chance of rain, and showers tomorrow as well, the high around 50. The chance of precipitation is 80%. This has been the AM 580 News Daily Podcast for Wednesday, December 20th. You can find podcasts of Focus 580, the afternoon magazine, agricultural programming, as well as other helpful information at our website, will.uiuc.edu. I'm Jeff Bossert, AM 580 News.